Psalm 93 this evening. Notice verse 1, the Lord who is Jehovah Almighty, God our Savior, reigneth. He always has reigned. He is clothed with majesty, excellency. The Lord is clothed with strength and power, wherewith he had girded himself. The world also was established that it cannot be moved. I'm entitling the message, "The Lord," what's said in verse 1, "The Lord reigneth." The Lord God Almighty reigneth. Not only is this the theme of this psalm, but also it's the theme of all the Word of God, is it not? In the beginning, God. And then when you read the Revelation, the Lord, Lamb upon his throne. Hallelujah. The Lord does reign. So it's the theme of this psalm. It's the theme of all Scripture. And also it is the theme of the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And he does reign and rule all things to his glory. And I rejoice, don't you, that our Lord reigns in absolute sovereign control over all things. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. We read a moment ago in Revelation 19. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and let us rejoice and let us give him honor. God is God. Our God, the God of the Scripture, the God of the Bible, is no peanut God. God is God Almighty in heaven, earth, sea, and all deep places. He rules over all. Let us rejoice. Look one page over, Psalm 97, verse 1. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the clouds be glad thereof. Look right up the page, Psalm 96, verse 9 and 10. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen, what's our message? The Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let us rejoice and let us declare that the Lord reigneth. The Lord is sovereign. We use that word a lot, don't we? Sovereignty, sovereign grace, sovereign mercy, sovereign love. What a pleasant thought. Our God is God, the sovereign Lord over all things. We talk about the sovereignty of God in creation, don't we? Created all things by the word of his power. Talk about the sovereignty of God in providence. That which comes to pass in time, God decreed from all eternity of him, through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory. And certainly know the Lord is sovereign in salvation. He will have mercy. He will have mercy on whom he will. He said, it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. I rejoice. Let us rejoice. The Lord our God, he is God. I like what David said in Psalm 115. Remember? Turn over there, Psalm 115. Psalm 115. When they asked David, David, where is your God? Our God in the heavens, he had done whatsoever he had pleased. Verse 3. Not unto us, O Lord. Look at verse 1. O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Oh, our God in the heavens. He had done whatsoever he hath pleased. Oh, they have idols and silver and gold. They have eyes they don't see. They have ears they don't hear. Our God is in the heavens, worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Look over at Psalm 135. I know that the Lord is great. Verse 5. Psalm 135, verse 5. I know that the Lord is great. Well, how great is he? who can describe his greatness? That our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord please, that's what he does in heaven, earth, seas, and all deep places. When we pray, our Lord taught us to pray, Lord, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's what we rejoice in. that God is God. He is God, our Savior, who rules and reigns over all things, and He arranges everything in our lives for our good and His eternal glory. Now, I want us to consider this Psalm 93, in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it celebrates His person, His glory, His kingdom, and His majesty. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He's clothed with honor and majesty and glory, is He not? Certainly included in this psalm is His victory over all opposition. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken on every enemy of God's people and has soundly and completely defeated them. You remember in Revelation 6 verse 2 where it says, He went forth conquering and to conquer. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, that is good news. The Lord our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, our God and Savior, reigns and rules on the throne of absolute sovereignty over all things. He's in control of all things. People like to have control of things. The only one who has absolute control of all things is our God and Savior. The Father loveth the Son, hath given all things into His hand. Now, let's take a look at verse 1. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed. He's clothed. He's well clothed. He's clothed with majesty, which means His excellency. The Lord is clothed with strength, which is power, almighty power. Where did He get this strength and this power, this excellency? He had girded Himself. The world is established. Who established it? Who created it? He created all things by the word of His power. By Him all things are upheld. By Him all things consist. That it cannot be moved. It cannot be moved. The only one who can move it is God. He created it. He sustains it. He keeps it. In Him we live and move and have our being. Now, the Lord reigneth. How long has He reigned? How long has He been on the throne? From everlasting to everlasting. He has reigned, He does reign, and He will reign forever and ever and ever. You know why? Look right across the page. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth, in the world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. How long has He been reigning and ruling upon the throne of majesty and dominion? His dominion, remember? His dominion, turn back over here to Psalm. I believe it's Psalm 72, isn't it? Yeah, Psalm 72, verse 8. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. His dominion is everywhere. His throne and His reign is forever. Forever and ever and ever. He will never vacate His throne of glory and majesty. The Lord Jesus Christ, as the mediator of the covenant and Lord over the kingdom of grace, He does reign absolutely and supremely over all things, especially in salvation. He will have mercy upon whom He will have mercy. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Now, this is the message of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is the sovereign Lord. He is the Lord Jesus, Savior, Lord of lords and King of kings, Lord, Savior, and He's the Christ. He's the anointed of God. This is the message of the gospel. The Lord does reign over all things. You remember, turn to Isaiah 57. This is quoted in Romans chapter 10. Isaiah 52 verse 7. Excuse me. Isaiah 52 verse 7. What is our message? The Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign Lord. How beautiful. Verse 7. Isaiah 52. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Good tidings. The gospel is good news. Good news to sinners, isn't it? That publish peace. We have peace with God. What? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. He made peace with his own blood. That bringeth good tidings of good. Good news. That publish salvation. Salvation is, what do we say? Salvation is of the Lord. That saith unto Zion, what's our message? Thy God reigneth. Thy God reigneth. The Father hath given him power over all flesh that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given to him. His servant preach the absolute sovereignty of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior, over all things, over all creatures, over all men. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, God Almighty manifested in the flesh. He came as the reigning king. When he was born in Bethlehem, what did those wise men ask? Where is he that is born king? He was king when he got here. He's always been king. You remember from Psalm 2, God said, I've set my king upon my holy hill Zion. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of another shall many be made righteous. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. And grace reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace reigns. That's sovereign grace, is it not? Grace reigns through righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the righteousness revealed in the gospel. The righteousness that's of God revealed in the gospel. When he accomplished our salvation, he accomplished our salvation as what? The reigning king, didn't he? The reigning king of kings and Lord of lords. When they crucified him, they wrote upon his cross, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the what? King. The king of the Jews. King of kings. Those Pharisees said to Pilate, don't say that he is. Say that he said. Remember what Pilate said? What I've written, I've written. And he wrote it in Hebrew. He wrote it in Latin. And he wrote it in Greek. That everybody could see that he came as king, lived as king, and died as king. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And when he rose from the grave, what did he say? All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He came as king, lived as king, accomplished our salvation as king. And he rose from the grave as king. And what happened after he ascended? After he came forth from the tomb and lived among men 40 days as the God-man, the glorified God-man, the resurrected God-man, what happened 40 days later? He ascended to the throne and he's seated at the right hand of God. He's still king. What's he doing there as our king? He ever lived to intercede for us. What a blessed thought. Our mediator, our advocate, our intercessor is the Almighty God who reigneth, and he lived to intercede for us. Well, that's good news, is it not? Aren't you glad that we can say the Lord God omnipotent reigneth? He's not trying to do anything. We hear people say, well, he's trying to save you, but you won't let him. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible saves his people by his grace. He doesn't ask permission. He knocks the door down. He doesn't knock on your door, won't you let me in? No. He opens the door and invites himself in. Oh, my soul. And he's coming back again. When he comes back again, how's he going to come back? He's going to come back as Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a trumpet, with a shout. And the dead in Christ shall be raised up. He's coming back as king, and every tongue will confess that he is what? Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's our king. This one who is God our Savior, he is our king, our mediator, our advocate. He advocates for us. He's the surety of the covenant. And it says there in verse 1, he is clothed with majesty. He is clothed with strength. Although as the God-man, he was clothed with a body specially prepared for him. He had a real human body, soul, and spirit. But still, even in his humanity, he never stopped being Almighty God, did he? He acted as Almighty God. You remember they said, those disciples, when the boat was going down and taking on water and the Lord was over there sleeping, and they tried to wake him up, and they said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" Remember what he said? "Oh, you little faith. I'm God. I sent the storm. I can calm the storm." And he rebuked the wind, and there was a great calm. Remember what they said? "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the seas obey his voice? What manner of man is this?" He's clothed with majesty. He's clothed with strength. Even in his humanity, he never stopped being God. When the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He demonstrated his majesty and strength when he walked among men. He raised the dead. Lazarus, "Lord, don't take that stone away from that grave. He's been dead 4 days, and man, his body is corrupting. He's surely dead, graveyard dead." And what did the Lord say? "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth. Now that's power. That's power. One who can raise the dead, give sight to the blind, make the crippled to jump and leap and rejoice. Only God our Savior can do that. He is clothed with majesty, excellency. His deity is excellent in all things. Turn over here to Isaiah 12. Isaiah 12. And in that day, verse 4, Isaiah 12, "Pray, you shall say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. He's in the midst of thee." What a blessing we have. He's clothed with majesty and excellency. He's clothed, and that means he's covered with strength and power. The kingdom of God is not in word only, but in power, is it not? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth. Where does he get such majesty, excellency? Where does he get such strength and power? It says there he had girded himself. He clothed himself with majesty, dominion, and power over all things. His power, glory, and majesty, they come not from any outside source, but from the Lord himself. Of his fullness, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him. Therefore, it says, His kingdom, the world also was established in it, cannot be moved. The world of his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, an everlasting dominion. Isn't that what Nebuchadnezzar was taught when the Lord put him out and off the throne and out in the field like a wild beast? And when the Lord gave him his right mind, he made this confession: "All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and the Lord doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of his earth, and none can stay his hand. None can say unto him, Lord God Almighty, what doest thou?" This is the one who's our Savior. This is the one who came and lived for us and died for us and has risen for us and has ascended for us and is seated in the heavenlies for us right now. Doesn't that rejoice your heart? Look at verse 2. Psalm 93, verse 2. Thy throne. Who sits upon a throne? Well, a king sits upon a throne. The Lord Jesus Christ, thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ is no created angel. He's no created Savior. How long has He been God, our Savior? From eternity. From old eternity, thy throne is established. Thou art from everlasting. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. He's always been our God and Savior. He's always been the surety of the eternal covenant. His throne is like His kingdom, established from everlasting, prepared from eternity, an ancient throne. The throne of His kingdom, and in His kingdom, it's no new startup kingdom. He's no rookie king. He's no amateur Savior. He's God Almighty, God our Savior, and He's been that from everlasting, old eternity. The throne of the Lord Jesus Christ has been set up from everlasting to everlasting. He's always been God, our Savior. He's always represented us as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's always represented us as the surety of the everlasting covenant that's ordered in all things and is sure. His throne has been set up from everlasting to everlasting. He's always been our Savior. He's always been our righteousness. He's always been the surety of that and sacrifice of that eternal covenant. Now look at verse 3 and 4. The floods. We know a little bit about floods around here, don't we? The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than any flood. He's mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. If you ever visited Niagara Falls or some great waterfall, boy, the pounding of that water, just the power of that water going over that big cliff. And it pounds and pounds and it roars and it's mighty and it's powerful. How powerful is it? Oh, it's powerful. It is nothing compared with the power of Almighty God. The Lord on high is mightier, greater, bigger, powerful, more powerful. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. You think when those hurricanes rip up the East Coast and the Gulf Coast, and the power and the majesty of that wind that blows and the surf that encompasses the land and destroys many things, and we think, man, what mighty power. Where does all that come from? God controls the wind, the sea, the rain, and all things. I talked to one of my relatives recently the other day on the phone, and they're having a real heat wave out west and a drought out west, and some of the lakes are drying up. And my relative, my sister, said to me, well, said the governor of the state told all the people out there to pray for rain, and all the church leaders out there are praying for rain, and I told my sister, I said, you think the Lord's going to send rain because you pray? The Lord will send rain when it pleases Him. The Lord is in charge of the wind, the seas, and the rain. When He says rain, it'll rain. When He says stop, it'll stop. Now we can make our cry and our prayers made known to God, but I tell you what, a lot of people think if they gang up on God, if we get enough people together and gang up on God, we're going to change His mind. We're going to change the weather. We're going to manipulate God. Can't do it. Can't do it. The Lord is mightier than the noise of the waves, the seas, and mighty waters. Now, Let me make a spiritual application. The waves, the floods, and the enemies. The waves and floods of the enemies. And I think that's what those mighty waters indicate. They lift up their voice against the Lord in opposition to His gospel and to His truth. But the gospel fire cannot be quenched. Nothing can drown out or stop His love. Nothing can separate us from His love whatsoever. The Lord is mightier than the noise of the waters of the enemies against God's people, who make a great noise against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can quench the fire and power of the gospel. Nothing can drown out or stop His love. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many waters cannot quench His love for us. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord is mightier than any enemy, is He not? The Lord is greater than any enemy, is He not? He shall have His way with them. Now, I'll give you a good example of that. Turn to Psalm 2. Turn to Psalm 2. Men full of rage, men full of malice, the Lord is able to subdue them and make them bow to His rule and to His reign. Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? Verse 1. And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have all His enemies in derision. The Lord controls all things. I think of Saul of Tarsus, a man full of malice, hatred, and rage, on his way from Jerusalem to Damascus to find everyone who called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have them arrested and have them put to death. Oh, he was a raging man like many mighty waters. But what happened? He met the Lord. And the Lord made him willing in the day of His power. And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? The Lord conquered him, didn't He? What did Pharaoh say to Moses? He said, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice to let Israel go? Who is this Lord you're talking about? And Moses said, you're going to find out. Who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Well, we know the rest of the story, don't we? He did let Israel go. And he said, oh, you go, and oh, by the way, Moses, bless me when you go, will you? Lay a prayer for me. Well, that didn't last long, because we know the story. Pharaoh went after them, and the Lord took him there in the Red Sea, as Israel was delivered, and the Lord took him and his army and destroyed them. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this purpose, this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. God raised him up to drown him in the Red Sea, that he might show his power. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he'll harden. There is no enemy that can stand in opposition to the Lord our God, who reigns, who's clothed with majesty, who's clothed with sovereignty, who's clothed with power. We can't exalt him too high. We can't give him too much glory. Can we? Say you preach God too big. Oh no, that's not possible. In closing, look at verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Now, everything we read in this book is the testimony of God. This is the testimony of God that you hold in your hand. It is very sure. You see that? Very sure. Holiness becometh thy house. His word is sure because God cannot lie. Every promise he has spoken will come to pass. Not one word will fail. His covenant is sure, remember? Isaiah talked about the sure mercies of David. You remember David's last words? God had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and is what? Sure. It's a sure word of prophecy. That's what we have over here in 2 Peter. If you want to turn, you can. If not, I know you're familiar with this scripture. I'll read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1. We have not, verse 16, followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have a more sure word of prophecy. His word is sure. He said, "Heaven and earth is going to pass away." He said, "My word will never pass away." Whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and day star arise in your heart, knowing this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by God the Holy Spirit. We have a sure word of prophecy. How sure is it? Turn to Psalm 119. Our faith is grounded upon his truth. Our faith is only as strong as his word of promise. You remember Psalm 119? Almost every verse has something to say about the word of the Lord. Look at verse 14. Psalm 119, verse 14. I have rejoiced in thy way, the way of thy testimony, as much as in all riches. Look down to verse 24. Psalm 119, verse 24. Thy testimony also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word of truth. Look at verse 31. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. His testimonies, his word. Look over here at verse 46. Psalm 119, verse 46. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Over to verse 97. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation all the day. Look at verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. We have in Christ a more sure word of prophecy. This is the testimony of our God. Our faith is not based upon the speculation of men, but upon the testimonies of the eternal God. The psalmist tells us here that his words are very sure. Very certain and sure. How do we know that God's word and the testimony of his mouth is sure? This psalm tells us the word of God is sure because God reigns in glorious sovereignty. It's only because God is sovereign that his word is sure. If I didn't believe that God is perfectly, absolutely sovereign, I could have no faith in his word. But knowing that God is both sovereign and true, I know that every testimony of his word is certain and sure. It can be trusted. We'll never go wrong trusting what God had said. His testimonies are very, very sure. The testimonies of God, He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, but declaring unto you" what? "The testimony of God. I determined to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's a good little psalm, isn't it? Five verses.